And his children asked him, say, why is it that you close with? I know he's all right. He said, well, look around. You see the toys you're playing with? Jesus gave them to you. See the house we live in? God gave it to you. You see the car I drive? God gave it to him. And the child rode off on his big wheel and said, I know he's all right. I know he's all right. If you know he's all right, rally your head back and say, yeah, yeah, I know he's all right. Hallelujah. He's all right. They used to sing a song that he's all right. Say, what do you know about Jesus? He's all right. If you know anything about him, you'll know that he's all right. He's all right to live with. All right to die with. All right to walk with. All right to talk with. He's all right. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to help Pastor close the sermon. While you're looking at me, I'm going to help him close it out by saying, I know he's all right.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Well, let's give the Lord a hand of praise for the third Lord's Supper experience today. As we prepare to go to the word of the Lord, gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this opportunity to hear your word. Meet us in the text and minister to us from your holy writ. And God, reveal the principles that we might practice and receive profit from, that we might give you the praise. So thank you, Lord, for what you shall say to us today. And we'll be careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. I would that you turn your Bibles to Matthew's chapter 26, verse 39. Matthew's chapter 26, verse 39. The scripture says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. I want to talk about praying through the most difficult times of life. Praying through the most difficult times of life. What a wonderful word we have here that gives us, first of all, insight as to how to handle our most difficult situations in life. The word has already been clear and said men ought always to pray and not to faint. We've been encouraged that men should pray without ceasing. But there is clearly some lessons we can learn as we look at Jesus facing his most difficult challenge on his way to Calvary concerning his mission and the redemption of mankind. There is some insight I believe the scripture offers us that would be helpful to our own journey here on planet Earth. How many of you have had some troubles and some struggles in your life and you knew to pray, but it seemed like prayer didn't just quite do it? Oh, some of y'all gonna be honest with me in here and not act holier than thou, like every prayer you've prayed has been answered and you're sitting on top of the world and there is no trouble in your life. No, all of us have some situations and some issues. Paul, one of the strongest men in the faith, sought God three times for the issue he had in his flesh. And God answered him, but it wasn't according to Paul's prayer. And he told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." So when we pray, we may not always get the answer we want, but we sure ought to want the answer he wants for us. I think many times in our own lives, we go to God with our fixed feelings and focuses, so much so that we want God to do it our way or no way. We're not really interested in how God wants to do it, and that's clear by the fact that we got no instructions from him before we ever started down the road we went. But we want God to fix the mess that we made on the road. And God is not always under warrant to come to our rescue when we've left him out of our plans. So we look at Jesus, who was with God, according to John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. This is the same Jesus who's personified as the Word now in the most trying and challenging time of his life. And from the insight, there are some things that we need to take note of. First thing we need to know is when he starts off praying, he's praying as the Son of God. He's calling on his position of deity, which is the deepest connection by which he talks to God. So the first thing I need to tell you is when you're going through the deepest, most challenging trials of your life, you need to call him up from your deepest connection. Yeah, listen at me well. Look, there are names associated with relationships. You got people in your life. You know if you call them one name. child come up and say, Father, that's a formal title. Father knows that he can expect this or that out of that child. Child come back and say, Daddy. He know that child wants something else that's out of another arena of that relationship. And yet there may be another name more personal than Father or Daddy. And out of that relationship, when that father hears that name, he knows that child is hurting or that child needs something on a deeper level. All play, all lack, all slack, all surface stuff is gone. This is deep stuff. And so because Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, the only one who can truly say, my Father. As a matter of fact, I shared with you, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father. He was not using his position as deity, as the Son of God, when he taught them to pray, the disciples, but he used his position as the Son of Man, which had siblings, brothers and sisters of the faith. So he teaches them how to say, our Father. But now, when he calls upon his Father, he says, oh, emphatically, my Father. Listen, he has God's attention, as the old folks say, with both ears. Because when Jesus says, my Father, it's like the Father, when he hears or says, my, he takes it personal. All through the Word of God, when God uses the word my, it means that he has taken this issue personally. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. What will I do? Forgive their sin and heal their land. What happened when Jesus was down in the Jordan and had been baptized? God split the heavens open and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. When he was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he had Peter and John there and Moses and Elijah there, and when he had made a communion with them and had ended this, Peter jumped up and said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And Jesus, before he could even speak, God spoke again and said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. In other words, when Jesus has something to say, everybody else need to be quiet. And so you got to know when to speak and not when to speak in the presence of the Lord. And so hear his Son calling him out of the deepest connection. Oh, my Father. But then look at what he goes on to say. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Not only does he connect with God at the deepest connection, deepest level, but he wants to make sure, he wants to make sure that his direction is clear. Listen to what he says. If it be possible. If it be possible. In other words, if there is a plan B, it's a good time for you to bring it up. If you got some other way that I didn't know about, if you've got some new insight on this situation, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And one of the things that you've got to realize is Satan, from the time Jesus was 2 years old, even until now, was trying to kill him before he got to Calvary. Because if he had killed Jesus before he got to Calvary, Jesus would not have laid his life down. Thus, in not laying his life down, he could not have picked his life back up again. Thus, if he could not have laid his life down and picked his life back up again, then that meant he would not have been raised. And he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, raised on the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Then on the third day, when he would have been raised, he would have been given all power in his hand. And so the devil knew that there were extenuating consequences connected with killing Jesus before he laid his life down. And Jesus wanted to make sure his directions were clear, that his path was still correct, that he was right on course. But that was the dust praying. The deity began, but the dust took over. Because you realize he was 100% God, but yet he was also 100% man. He started off as 100% God, but then the man, the human part, the human nature, at 33 and a half years old, was not ready to die. So he wanted to know, God, my Father, if you have an alternate plan other than this, it's a good time for you to let me know about it. But now, listen. Because he wanted to make sure his directions were clear in the flesh, because there was no room for error. We're facing some of the most difficult times in our lives. First thing we need to do is connect with God at the deepest point of our relationship with him. And those of us who really know him know how to call him Abba Father. We can call him Daddy. We can call him whatever it is that we have an intimate relationship out of with God. And at that point, God will know that when we're coming to him, it's a serious, deep matter. And then secondly, we want to make sure that our direction is clear, that the path and the course we're on is of God. That I didn't lose him somewhere on the journey. That I didn't detour or make a wrong turn somewhere, that I didn't get off course and end up in this situation because I wasn't paying attention to the signs that were on the road. I just want to be clear that my direction is still straight ahead. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. From me. Now, what he was clear about is if the cup didn't pass from him, then he had to drink the contents of the cup. Listen, he was not going to remove the cup. He was not going to set the cup aside. He was going to drink what was in the cup, of the cup, if God didn't cause the cup to pass from him. What am I saying? I'm saying he was saying, Lord, I'm going to go through what I have to go through just as long as I know it's you. Somebody didn't hear that. You see, there are some difficult things we go through, but listen, we could bear them all the more as long as we know it's God who's leading us through them. When the psalmist said, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even though it is a difficult thing to do, I can handle it as long as I know it's what you want me to do. And see, too many of God's people think that God wants them to walk an easy path, a flowery path where they have no problems, where every day is sunny, never cloudy, never challenged, never have issues, never have to cry, never have to go through things. No, that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. You belong to God. This world is not your home. Jesus said, if they hated me, no, you know that they hated me before they hated you. So know that you're going to go through some things, but be of good cheer. I have overcome
the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for the believer who's going through some stuff, perhaps the worst stuff you've ever gone through, don't weep and cry as if God has forsaken you. Just make sure your direction is clear. Just make sure you didn't miss an exit you should have taken. Just make sure you hadn't gone too far. Just make sure you're still on track. And sometime when things don't look familiar in the scenery, don't look like anything you know, ain't nothing wrong with checking back with your map. Ain't nothing checking with taking a few moments and making sure all of those paths lead to your destination. God doesn't penalize you for checking the map.
No, he don't.
No. Because I've discovered sometime, my brothers and sisters, that even with the best GPS system, every now and then, I run across a road where the GPS map says your GPS map stops here because there is no mapping for this route. Y'all ain't hear me. I've had to go down some country roads where the GPS had not been mapped in to the satellite system. And it said, your GPS guidance stops now. And I had to go back to old-fashioned means. I had to pray. I had to ask God to put somebody on my path so I could ask them, am I on the right road? Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. Wait a minute, y'all carrying me too fast. Slow down. I ain't ready. And so he wanted to make sure his direction was clear. But then he says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And so now what he's asking for is divine confirmation. I'll tell you, when you want to make sure your direction is clear and you want to make sure that you're connected at the deepest source, it's just good to get a divine confirmation. Ain't nothing like a divine confirmation. Jesus prayed 3 times the same prayer because his circumstances had not yet changed. And they either, listen, had not changed because God had not answered him. He had not yet gotten the divine confirmation, or that God wanted him to do had not changed. And that's all he wanted, a divine confirmation. God, if you want me to go through with it, just give me a sign. Yeah. Lord, Father, I want to make sure that I'm doing what you want me to do in my season. Because they tried to take him before his time had come, and Jesus would let them know, my hour had not yet come. No, he had to make clear that they understood that it was a timely matter. There was an appointed time. There was a clear set season for him to do his work. And he couldn't go before, and he couldn't be delayed. And so he just needed a divine confirmation that it was the time, that it was the place, and that he was the person to carry out the plan. And I'm so glad Luke picks up in the 22nd chapter and the 43rd verse. And he gives us something else to know. Because after Jesus had given us insight And after Jesus had gotten instructions, and after Jesus had become inspired to go back and put himself behind his feelings and put God before his feelings, when Jesus had gotten to that point where he says, I'm not trying to make any recommendations, I'm just trying to reverence you. If it be possible, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will. I'm not trying to make a suggestion. I'm not trying to change your mind. I just want to make sure I'm in your will. And Luke 22:43 says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Now, my brothers and sisters, if that's not divine confirmation, tell me what is. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven. What did he do, preacher? He kept strengthening him. Now, the only reason why the angel showed up is because Jesus said, I need divine confirmation. And I don't mind telling somebody today that it ain't nothing wrong with getting a little divine confirmation. When you're facing some of the roughest things that you've ever gone through in your life, there ain't nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I just want to hear from you one more time. The Bible says when that angel strengthened Jesus, he went on back to the disciples, said, sleep on, take your rest. Hey, it's all right now. I know my help has shown up. He strengthened me. Cause every now and then you've got to walk all by yourself. Sometimes folk will say, I'm with you. They have the best of intentions. But every now and then it's just you and your Father all by yourself. And I'm so glad when I get in that place, I just need to know he's walking with me. He's talking with me. He's telling me everything will be all right. It gets a little dark sometime. My heart gets heavy sometime. I feel like I'm all by myself sometime. But oh, I'm glad to know he's still with me. How many of you know the Lord is still with you? Even in your worst times. I'm going to leave you here, but I want to take the long way home if y'all don't mind. There's a little old story I won't share with you before I go about justice and mercy. One day, justice and mercy were talking over the plight of man. Justice said, I believe if a man falls down, that he ought to stay down till he can get back up again. Mercy said, no, I believe when a man falls down, that his brother ought to help him up, because the only reason he fell was because he could no longer stand. Justice said, I believe an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But mercy said, no, I believe you ought to